Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Every taco tells a story. It's a savory one that's filled with history and culture. It's the hands that make the tacos. It's the immigrant ties to your favorite taqueria. It's the vaquero origins of your breakfast taco. These stories are told in the podcast, The Tacos of Texas, now in its fourth season. Taco journalist Mando Rayo is its host and producer. It's not his first venture into exploring food culture. Rayo is a 2022 James Beard Award nominee for commercial and sponsored visual media and a 2023 Signal Awards winner for the Tacos of Texas podcast. He's the author of numerous books, including The Tacos of Texas, a public TV series of the same name, two children's books, co-hosted the TV series United Tacos of America on the El Rey Network, and various other media ventures, all under his production company, Identity Productions. Rayo says taco journalism is not just about eating and writing about tacos.
The way I look at food and food culture, it represents your identity and your culture, and you can't really separate those two. And so, yes, we start with the food, the tacos, and they're very yummy. But then we dig into, you know, the different issues around the food, getting into the culture of the people and those making our food. So the idea there is around like understanding where your food comes from. We really focus on digging into those stories around migrant farm workers who cultivates and picks those nice vegetables that make your tacos so great. You know, we talk about who has the affordability of keeping a business open, but also who can have access to tacos when nowadays, you know, it's hard to get a $2 taco. And on average, even in Austin, the average taco price is $5. We do talk about taco gentrification. So the idea there is we use tacos as a Trojan horse to understand people, their communities, identities, and their culture.
And so let's talk about how you've been incorporating that Trojan horse into the podcast. It's already in season four. You've already talked about a few of the topics you guys have already touched upon in the previous three episodes. What is season four going to be looking at?
Yes, El Cuatro. That's right. You know, every season, intentionally or not, we do have a theme for the season. For this one, it's the idea around how a lot of these taco makers, they can have food trucks, they could be chefs, they could be home cooks across the board, they could be content creators. They're just kind of like building up their own, to be honest, kind of like how we've been able to do it. And the idea there is like, okay, how do you take this idea and actually develop something? Say, for example, out of San Antonio, Chef Rico Torres, you know, the idea where he started just actually getting into catering, and now he became chef, co-owner of Michli in San Antonio. But now he's really digging into the food ways and really becoming this novice historian.
And this is something that resonates with me, is doing a restaurant that really hyper-focuses on Mexican recipes and gastronomy and history, and all of those things are things that I like. And so that's how Michli began.
So part of this is the journey. And for a lot of folks, it is part of that journey. And so in season four, we talked to Chef Annalise Pulido, who was just named Best Chef in Texas from the James Beard Foundation.
Which is huge, because when do you see a taquera getting a James Beard Award?
I'm so grateful and honored to represent the Rio Grande Valley. We are a small town in South Texas, just minutes from the border of Mexico. So, no tengo palabras, pero quiero agradecer a todos los mexicanos.
I would say in a field of a male-dominated or even recognition is really focused on the taquero, on the male part of the taquerias. And so, yeah, for her to not only be nominated, but to win the Best Chef in Texas, that's pretty amazing. And she has, you know, humble beginnings. She has a couple of funny stories that she would sell Nutella pies in high school to her friends. And then her dad in Mexico gave her a little spot where she can have a little snack bar and have the papas locas and all that. And so she's always had that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. And now she has her own proper restaurant in Mission, Texas. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, talking to folks like that, to thinking about some of the maybe folklore into Mexican food. So there's one episode, we call it, "Is That Freddy Fender on My Tortilla?" And, but the idea of like these apparitions that we have as a culture and we see, whether it's in a tortilla, whether it's Freddy Fender or La Virgen, right?
Right.
And so I connected with Aiden Castellanos from the podcast Susto. He has a podcast really focused on, you know, those kind of spooky stories that are culturally grounded.
The Cucuy and La Llorona and those figures, yeah.
Así. But we also talk about, like, the foods, the huevo, used for healing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe using chiles to ward away bad spirits. So we talk a little bit about that, and we kind of dig into some of that Mexican folklore. Yeah, and, you know, we also talk about a lot of much-needed recognition around the vaquero culture. Where does that come from? You know, when you people think of Texas, you think of the cowboy, right? But where did the cowboy learn those practices? They learned it from those Mexican vaqueros. And so we talked to Kitty Gutierrez, who's an author and a writer.
The vaquero is the original cowboy of Texas and really the precursor to what we would think of as that Texas cowboy figure. And the history of the vaquero is very, very long. And it starts really at, you know, you could tell the story starting from 700 AD with the Moors in northern Africa. So that's kind of how far these roots extend.
And then we definitely, you know, dig into going to HEB. And they have the Mi Tienda products that I think everybody loves now. But they actually have a proper store in Houston. They have two stores in Houston. How HEB went basically full Hispanic aisle, right, with a Mi Tienda store and products. And so we visit that Mi Tienda. It doesn't even, you don't even know that it's an HEB. It just says Mi Tienda. And it's like that mix of like a Mexican market. It's kind of like those carnicería.
Yeah.
So it's a mix of all that. We explore that in Houston. Our shop is set up, our studios in Austin, but we also did one in San Antonio next to the Pearl where we invited our guests to come in. We did our interviews there, but we also went to Houston to go to Mi Tienda. We went to La Tia Pancha Flea Market where you can basically get anything you want. But we talk about the tools of the taco trade, like the big bandejas, and the ollas to make, like, say, birria or carnitas. But, like, okay, so how do you use it? Who sells them? And what's the usage for? You know what I mean? So we kind of dig into some of that at the flea market. It's a big mix of different things. And I think the common thread there is, like, everybody's got that entrepreneurial spirit.
And a couple of episodes that are pretty great. One that I heard not too long ago is the episode on queso, and you and me both coming from El Paso. We know about Munster cheese.
The crazy thing, because I'm from El Paso, originally, we use Munster cheese. Is that crazy?
Interesting.
Yeah. It's a thing in El Paso.
I didn't know that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. What does, I'm like turning this interview on you now. What does Munster cheese add to the, like, how does it influence the texture of it?
You know, it's a super easy, light, melty cheese.
Okay. Because it's a good grilled cheese too, right?
Yeah.
Like that's what I'm thinking of, right?
So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
I also remember my fingers getting all orangey from the Munster and making the quesadillas and having that little orange edge just sort of melt all over the edges. Yeah.
Yes. That's my favorite part.
Right.
Well, yeah. Queso is different depending on kind of where you are in Texas, right? You know, coming from West Texas, El Paso, right there along the border, you know, our queso is more infused with like chiles, like spice. But then when you come to like maybe Central Texas and South Texas has a different variety as well, it's more of the cheesy factor, right? It's, you know, can I say this controversial to call it a dip? and so the idea there is like people use it for so many things, and it's one of those things where You know, when you go to any place, they're going to have queso. People really get into their queso. There's been definitely already some enlightened conversations on my Instagram feed around queso. It's like, what is this and how do you do it? And this one's the best way. And that one's TikTok and Instagram. People are always pouring cheese over everything. And so, so you do see that a lot.
And it's all about the pull. We're not talking about, you know, blue cheese, right? You're talking about Mexican cheese. And if you're looking at crumbly cheese, yeah, you got queso fresco. But yeah, sure. So Mexican cheeses have all those different types of textures.
Yes, they do. Yeah, and that was just a fun interview that I had with Nadia Chaudhary out of Eater Austin.
We're having a fun interview with Mando Rayo, a taco journalist and producer at Identity Productions. He's the host and producer of Season 4 of the Tacos of Texas podcast, available now. When we come back, talking about food on the Tacos of Texas isn't limited to what's on the menu.
You know, everybody has a similar story, especially like in the food world. They're like, oh, we have fresh ingredients and quality food. Okay, all right, got that. Let's dig deeper into that.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. The Tacos of Texas podcast, produced at KUT and KUTX Studios in Austin, is an extension of creator Mando Rayo's vision to explore Latino food culture across the state. The podcast is now in Season 4. It's already explored the origins of the breakfast taco through the history of the early Spanish and Mexican vaqueros. He took us on a gooey trip into queso and has talked to established chefs, including Rico Torres of San Antonio and the Rio Grande Valley's James Beard Award winner, Annalise Pulido. He also talks to some unlikely food influencers like Arnie Segovia, who goes by Arnie Tex on the socials. Arnie is a barbecue enthusiast and competitor in the Rio Grande Valley who looks like everyone's Theo, with a big bushy mustache and a casual delivery, and almost a million subscribers to his YouTube channel.
This is probably the number one recipe that all of us in my culture make for backyard carne asada, for parties and get-togethers, and even for catering. We call these our party beans.
Taco journalist and Tacos of Texas host and producer Mando Rayo explains why it was so important to include Arnie in the series.
So the idea, you know, when we reached out to him, we really wanted to talk to him about, like, what does it mean to be an influencer, right? Because he does these cooking videos that you could see pretty much almost on any platform. And he's super helpful. And he talks about South Texas and a lot of that culture through his cooking. And he's giving people tips, you know, right and left, whether it's something simple like fajitas, to a breakfast taco, to more involved recipes. But the idea there is, like, you know, how do you stand out in this sea of influencer marketing that we see today? Whether they tend to be, you know, white women. And so how do you stand out? And he is standing out. And I think it's because he's, you know, very sweet. He's a father. He's a son. He's a traditional cook, a barbecue expert. But again, he's a boomer influencer, right? So you got to show respect, right? And it's not like he set this path to be an influencer. He was just like, hey, if I can help somebody learn some cooking techniques, you know, that's great. And it's a family affair too. You know, his wife helps him a lot. His kids help them a lot. When they started, they really started to be honest, to sell some of his spices. And it was just kind of a way to teach people, you know, new ways, or his way of cooking, right? I love his zingers too. Pow, bam.
Oh yeah, baby. Oh my goodness. I make you want to dance. Yes, sir. Them beans are good. Them some party beans right there, friends.
Well, what I love about Arnie Segovia, he goes by Arnie Tex on YouTube and on socials, but he's kind of doing it on his own, right? Arnie's got it down.
Oh, he's got it down.
Well, what I love about your podcast is you do get to go to all these places and you get to have these great conversations with people. But you're having a great time with these guests and it's super casual and you just kind of let the talks go where they want to go. So tell me a little bit about how you put these episodes together.
Like we've always said that our team, Identity Production, we need to pass the mic. You know, we need to allow people to tell their stories in their own ways. You know, oftentimes, like in journalism or in even food media, you see people talking on behalf of different cooks, different taqueros, but you're not going to get it until you actually hear it from them. That's at the core. We want to make sure that we pass the mic in that way. And we want to make people comfortable and give them the honor and the respect to tell their own stories, right? For me, it's about connecting and understanding like that everybody has a different journey. You know, let's see where this conversation goes. You know, we prep a lot, but we allow people to like flourish in their storytelling. So we have a small team, you know, we have, I have a story producer and then an audio mixer, field recorder. We have a creative producer as well. And we always think about for somebody that doesn't know of how to put a podcast on, what is it going to take? So how do we push even further on a question? How do we dig deeper? You know, everybody has a similar story, especially like in the food world. They're like, oh, we have fresh ingredients and quality food. Okay, all right, got that. Let's dig deeper into that. Where does it come from and how do you do it? How is it similar to others? But also, how do you stand out? We explore the issues. So the stories is not just about the tacos, but it's about family. It's about the culture. It's about some of the hardships, right? But as well as now maybe some of that recognition that I would say Mexican Americans and Mexicanos and Latinos deserve because they've been doing it. You know, they've been doing it for a long time. They've been doing it in the backgrounds, in the kitchens. And I'm just honored to be able to allow that space and this platform of the podcast to allow them to tell their stories.
And I like how you share your story as well, like the Munster cheese incident, or, you know, even growing up near the border in El Paso, you know,
yes.
Bringing in that personal element tends to inspire other people to tell more about themselves. It's just a really great give and take. And I think it really gives it, makes it something special, I think.
No, thank you. Thank you, Norma. I do feel that getting to know me and exploring these stories and my perspective. Also, it's like, hey, you know what? We have kind of a similar path, or I did this, you did that, but look at where we are and where paths can connect. Part of the podcast, it's just like an internal name. We call it the Mandolog. And that's where I talk about, like, I give my opinion. And then this is my life experience. And I feel like that can open doors for people to feel more comfortable talking to folks, whether it's in English or in Spanish or a little bit of both. So yeah, so when I share stories from my life and my lived experience, allows them to feel more comfortable, definitely in front of the mic, definitely in front of a camera. I always like to throw in some chistes here and there to make people feel comfortable. And I think this is great storytelling. You know, now we're capturing a lot of these stories that before maybe they stayed in certain rooms, if you will. But now they're all online now.
Well, Mondo, you've kind of got this taco journalism empire going on right now. You've got the podcast, books that have been published as well. What else are you working on right now?
Well, definitely I have a lot going on. You know, so I have a production company, Identity Productions, and we really focus on telling undertold stories, BIPOC experiences. What does that look like? Is it a Black rancher out in the hill country? Is it a panadera, you know, that's making her name in Austin? Community activists doing great things in a community. And so for me, that's super important. So definitely visual and video storytelling is part of what we do. So we do have multiple projects happening. You know, we work with brands around storytelling. I'm a home cook, so we're just about to launch a backyard cocinero series where I interview folks around culture of backyard cooking. I cook up some tasty tacos along the way. I co-founded a a nonprofit in Austin. It's called The New Philanthropist, and we really focus on bringing representation through leadership to nonprofit boards. And so it's super important for me around the idea of bringing your voice to the table, whether it's through a podcast form or maybe a leadership role and everything kind of there in between. So I think that's been part of my journey to make sure that there's people in places that are making decisions on their community that's being impacted, that we have the right voices there at the table. And, you know, traditionally, those bigger organizations, legacy organizations, have been predominantly white. And so for me, it's about making that table longer, bringing those voices to the table through board service. But I do everything. So what you see is what you get. But you know what? Anytime I take a meeting, whether it's with an agency, whether it's with a brand or a nonprofit or a funder, we're going to have it over tacos.
Mando Rayo is a taco journalist and producer with Identity Productions. He's the host and producer of the Tacos of Texas podcast, produced at KUT-KUTX Studios in Austin. It's now in its fourth season, with a new episode dropping every Taco Tuesday. Catch up on all the Tacos of Texas episodes wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for joining us today for Fronteras. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Marianne Navarro. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.